You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Amen. Amen and good morning. Man, that was awesome to worship with all of you. I love starting my morning that way with all of our voices together. It's so special. If we've never gotten a chance to meet before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard, and ton of Christmas stuff coming. Not a lot of Christmas shopping done, but we still have time, still have plenty of time. But very excited to celebrate Christmas with all of you. It's always just a special time of the year, and really for all of us in one way or another, Christmas is a unique time, hopefully a special time, but I think for a lot of us, I imagine our lives are somewhat similar. Christmas always seems to have a few unexpected turns. There's always a few things that kind of surprise you around Christmas time. I mean, some of you, you don't know this yet, but you are going to receive an unexpected guest this Christmas. It could be that crazy cousin, it could be that crazy uncle, but they will come unexpected and unannounced, and they will share really weird things at the dining table for everyone to have to kind of navigate that social moment. These are unexpected things that are going to come. You know, it seems like in the Faust family, I don't know why, but every time around Christmas season, something breaks in our house. It's less unexpected now. Now we're kind of ready for it. Right now, both of our windshields have cracks in them and our microwave and oven just went out. So welcome to Christmas. But listen, this is just what happened. Welcome to our warfare. This is what happens every Christmas season at the Faust house. These are always unexpected things, but there's a whole bunch of unexpected things that are good too. They don't just have to be bad surprises, they can be good surprises. You know, some of you might receive an unexpected Christmas bonus this year, or an unexpected vacation trip, or a nice unexpected present under the tree, or an unexpected date that you get to go on. All of these things can be good, but the idea of the unexpected and Christmas, it seems like they always go together. Since the very first Christmas, the unexpected and the birth of Jesus have always gone together. I mean, the very first Christmas, if you think back to it, is filled with surprises. Mary and Joseph, they were experiencing unexpected thing, one after another after another. I mean, angels lit up the sky, shepherds brought their animals to the birth of Christ. A while later, not the very first night, but a while later, the wise men came and delivered their gifts. All kinds of unexpected things were happening at the birth of the Savior of the world. And so today, as we kind of continue to march towards Christmas Eve and that special candlelight service together, we're gonna continue the series where we are using these 2x2 grids and these 2x2 matrices to kind of talk about how we can experience the Christmas through this new lens. And our passage for this morning is from the book of Revelation, which is not maybe what you would think of when you think Christmas passage, but it's one of my favorite books in all of the Bible for sure. And the book of Revelation, it's the last book in the Bible. If you've never read it, it happens after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's filled with scriptures. It's filled with passages that will help you get to know and even experience the real Jesus. And that's what we're talking about as we move towards Christmas Eve. So last week, you might remember, we in our 2x2 grid, we talked about the humanity and the divinity of Christ and how both of those work together, and that's how we experience Jesus. This week, our passage is going to refer to Jesus as both the Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. We'll read the first few verses of Revelation 5, but just a little context first. I just want you to know, you know, the book of Revelation, it was written by one of the closest disciples of Jesus. His name was John. And before he kind of pens this letter, he has this really unique spiritual experience, this visitation, and really the Spirit almost lifts him up, and he has this visionary experience of heaven and some of the things that are yet to come. But it's this glorious and wonderful experience that he has. Right before the passage that we're going to read this morning, John is actually standing before the very throne of God. The worship and the glory and the splendor is all around the throne. It's an incredible experience. And there's 24 elders that are surrounding the throne. And John kind of has this firsthand look, this first glance at all of it. He's just caught up in the glory and splendor of it all. But it's in this moment that something very unexpected happens. And that's what we're going to read about in Revelation 5, the first few verses. This is how it begins in verse 1. Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who is sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. This is a passage about Jesus. The only one who is worthy. The Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb who was slain. He's the only one worthy to open the scroll. I mean, just get caught up in this passage with me for a moment. Just imagine the scene. Nothing short of complete glory and power all wrapped up into one giant experience. I mean, John gets caught up into heaven. He sees and witnesses the very throne of God and all of its wonder and all of its majesty. The worship is amazing. The visuals, the power and the glory. And then there's a strong angel who speaks up. Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open this scroll and break the seals? But there was no one. No human or angel strong enough or worthy enough to open the scroll. And so John begins to weep bitterly. And I'm not talking, I mean, obviously, it's not like some kind of masculine cry where he's standing at attention and just one singular tear, you know, is working its way down his cheek. This is weeping. This is a Hebrew man who's not afraid to show emotion, weeping bitterly. He probably collapsed to the floor in heaven. He is making a scene of himself. All the angels are probably like, "What is wrong with this human?" He's weeping bitterly because no one is found. And then one of the elders comes, and you can almost imagine the elder having to like bend down and put his hand on his shoulder because again, John's weeping, and he says, "Don't worry. Don't cry. Don't weep," he says. "Look, look. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is worthy. He's won the victory. The heir to David's throne, he alone can open the scroll." And what happens next is so important to our understanding of Jesus and what it means to be a Christian. John turns to look to find the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but instead of seeing a powerful and regal and stately and strong lion, the kind of animal that expresses power and strength and authority, instead of seeing all of those things, he turns and he sees a lamb. And not just any lamb, but a lamb who was slain. It says in verse 6, a lamb that was slaughtered, a sacrificial lamb. So the person of Jesus comes in unexpected ways all the time. Imagine expecting the lion and receiving the lamb instead. Look at these slides. Imagine thinking you're going to turn and see that. And then you turn and you see that. Would that be a little bit of a letdown for you, or am I the only one? I would be utterly surprised and utterly shocked. You know, when we lived in Kansas City with our kids, we would go to the zoo all of the time. And the Kansas City Zoo, it's designed like a lot of zoos. It's kind of designed by continents. And that particular day, we just wanted to go to Africa. That was the only reason we were there. We wanted to take our kids to see the lion. And the zoo did not disappoint that day. I'll never forget it. We went in, and the minute we crossed the bridge kind of into the little exhibit of Africa, you could hear the lion roaring from its exhibit. We were still like a half a mile away. So we picked up the pace, skipping all kinds of other exhibits to just get to the lion. And when we got there, it did not disappoint. He was like sitting, literally, like it was like the Lion King. He was sitting on the rock on the top of a hill. And every now and then he would just, it seemed like he was looking at us. And every now and then he would just roar. And it just pierced the air. It pierced through all the other noises of the zoo, and somehow it like hit you in your chest, like when the bass is cranked up during worship. You can just feel it, right? But imagine how disappointing it would have been if we would have rushed all that way. We would have been hearing the lion roaring. We would have rushed all that way. And then when we got there, we just saw like a flock of sheep bleeding their way around. Just, and then, I mean, again, the pictures, like it would have totally shocked you. And it would have been a complete letdown. Scripture refers to Jesus in both of these ways. The Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Lamb who was slain. He is both the King of the beasts, wild and untamed, powerful and strong, and also he's a domesticated little farm animal who ends up a sacrifice. This is Jesus. This is the Jesus who left heaven, was born into our world. This was our Jesus who showed us what it's like to have a life in the kingdom of God. If you're here this morning and you've never started a relationship with Jesus, if you're here this morning, this is the first time that maybe you've been around church for a while, or maybe the first time you've been around a message about Jesus Christ, you just realize, I've actually never started a life with God. I've never committed my life to Jesus before. Then I just want you to know that at the end of our service, we're gonna give you an opportunity to make a first-time commitment to following Jesus. We do that every Sunday at the Vineyard because we always wanna help you start a life with God. And we realize that you're gonna have to make decision after decision after decision to follow Jesus. I know I have to. But that first decision is the most important. And so if that's you this morning, we're gonna give you an opportunity to start a life with Jesus later this morning. But again, I just want all of us to know, whether it's for the first time or the 10,000th time, you need the Lion and the Lamb in your life. You need both of them. You need the Lion and the Lamb in your life. The lion wasn't like a bizarre symbol or even reality for people in Bible days. Lions still lived in and around Israel for many years. They were, of course, the strongest of all the wild animals. They were filled with power. And in a lot of ways, they represented authority and even his kingship, the Lord's kingship, because they were seen as the king of all the creatures. And when the Lion of the tribe of Judah is on your side, there's no one that can be against you. There's no one who can stand against that power and strength. You have his protection and his courage, his victory. And we all need more of that in our life, don't we? Life has its ways of kind of grinding you down and giving you unexpected turns. And we love life because of its adventure and what could be next. But life also brings you heartbreak. And it also has ways of showing you unexpected pain. And there's all kinds of things in our life where we need to cry out for the power, strength, and protection that the Lion of the tribe of Judah can offer to us. But none of it works without the Lamb. You need the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In biblical, symbology and really just the reality of what the lamb would represent for the first reader, it would represent vulnerability in Scripture, obedience, following the shepherd, and of course, sacrifice. It's the surrender of the cross that leads to our redemption and hope and salvation in the first place. Andrew Murray, a famous 19th century South African theologian, one of my favorite authors right now, he says that the Lamb of God represents both the meekness and the death of Jesus. The meekness and the death of Jesus. Almost the complete opposite of what you would think when you think about the lion of the tribe of Judah. And yet both are true of him. And both are needed in our lives today. This is the God who died for you. This is the God who left perfection, was born into our chaotic environment filled with pain and heartache. This is the God who looked down upon our mess and said, "Those are my children. You are my son, you are my daughter, and so I will go and I will lay it all down to reconcile and redeem and make all things new." This is Jesus. So our two by two, as we talk about it this Christmas season, this is how the beginning of the two by two would look, the lion and the lamb. We have kind of an unmarked matrix that we can show you. The higher you go, the vertical axis, that's the lion. The more horizontal, the further to the right, the more lamb. And so if you go all the way up to the top, you'd have a ton of lion. If you go all the way to the right, you would have a ton of that lamb who was slain. And now here's the problem, right? Here's the problem. If you just go to the next slide, if it's all lion or if it's all lamb, here's what you're going to have. Because when it's all lion, you're going to have a lot of power. You're going to have a lot of authority, but it's not going to be paired with gentleness or compassion, suffering or sacrifice. And ultimately, this leads to a dictatorship or someone who is way more oppressive than benevolent. In 1 Peter 5, I think it's verse 8, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, the Bible actually refers to the devil as one who is roaring and prowling around the earth like a lion looking for someone to devour. Very interesting because it's the same animal, but it's representing two completely different beings. And the kicker is the motive. One looking to devour. There's a sense that the enemy does have some power, but it's not paired with the mercy, grace, compassion, and love, and ultimately suffering of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, it becomes quite dangerous. And at the same time, if it's all lamb and no lion, if it's just sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice with zero internal fortitude, no willpower, no strength, I mean, now you're pushing, you're gonna become a pushover. You're gonna be in this victim mentality. You'll be a victim at every turn because it's always surrender, no strength, and that's not good either. Thankfully, we don't have a savior that lives in that quadrant. What we need is both lion and the lamb. And so the rest of the grid would look like this. You know, if you have no lion and no lamb, really you have no strength and you have nothing to sacrifice. You're a prisoner of everything. You're a prisoner of the world you're in. You're a prisoner of everything. You have nothing to offer and you have no strength. But Jesus Christ is the perfect embodiment of the lion and the lamb. Full power, full authority, full mercy, full grace, full sacrifice. He holds the fullness of power and surrender, the fullness of power and vulnerability. It's God's power married to the depth of his compassion. There's just nothing like the way of Jesus. There's nothing like the way of Jesus. There's nothing like our Savior. But again, let me remind you, he is unexpected. The way of Jesus will surprise you. The way of Jesus will surprise you. Just go back to John, or Revelation 5 with me for just a moment. Think about John. Just a little more context of kind of first century Israel, when this was written, what was happening in the early church. Because when John wrote the book of Revelation, the Christian church was experiencing unprecedented persecution. Persecution like it hadn't been seen before. And it's not like it was, or it's not like it is today in America. It was way different. The persecution was way different. Now, I know some of us have experienced like levels of persecution in our own life. You know, social rejection or isolation, family or friends who witness your deep found faith in Jesus and they reject you and they distance from you. Or maybe in extreme cases, you've been bullied a little bit or mocked or totally kicked out of a social setting. And that is hard. That's real pain. That is real pain that the Lord wants to minister to, but it's not quite the same as the persecution that the early church experienced. They were being killed by the thousands. tortured, and oftentimes crucified just like Jesus. First century Rome, when the book of Revelation was written, it was a dangerous time to be a Christian, and yet all the believers still held on to their faith in incredibly strong ways. And I share this because if there was anyone who was desperate for the Lion of the tribe of Judah to show up and rescue his people and defend them against the jackals and the hyenas of the Roman world, it would have been John and the disciples and the first readers of this letter. They were desperate for the power and protection and authority of the King of all kings, the one who could actually come and do something about all the pain they were experiencing. He's the only one who's worthy to open the scroll. He's the only one worthy to eliminate all the persecution. Can you imagine the faith and anticipation when John's there and the elder says, but wait, look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he can make all things right. And then he turns and he looks and he sees a lamb who was slain. His humanness, just in his fleshly response that had to feel a little bit like a letdown. John had to be reminded, much like you and I need to be reminded continually, over and over and over again, you do not win the day by sheer power and strength. You will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The Lamb who was slain, our suffering servant. It's the way of Jesus, and it will often surprise you. This kind of surprise hits us all the time in our day-to-day lives. I mean, have you ever hoped for the power of God to just break into your life in a moment? Like John, have you ever found yourself weeping on the floor, just crying out for God, won't you come and rescue me? Won't you come and bring salvation? Won't you come and heal my body or heal my relationships? Lord, I've been crying out and I've been crying out. Why won't you come? You're the only one with all the power. You're the only one who is worthy. You're the only one who can come and redeem this situation. Lord, come and come quickly. And in that moment, he'll speak to you in his still small voice. And sometimes he'll say, I'm not going to rescue you right now, but my presence is with you. My grace is all you need. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Sometimes this is the way that the Lord decides to come and show up. He reminds you that, yes, you're experiencing a bit of suffering and pain. And Jesus reminds you, I suffered too. I was rejected too. I went to the cross on your behalf, and it was through my suffering and sacrifice that I am able to redeem all things. It was through his weakness as the lamb who was slain that makes all things right. There are so many times in our lives where we're crying out for God to come through, and he asks for patience. He asks for faith. He asks for us to trust in the one who experienced all this suffering and all of this pain. In some ways, it's a beautiful passage of who Jesus is, and in some ways, it's really hard to read. You just want the lion to come. And he comes as the lamb who laid it all down. Have you ever had like a really bad boss? A really bad boss. I've had one really excruciating boss. In my 20s, Natalie and I, we were working inner city Kansas City and working with gang members. And on the side of that nonprofit that we did, I coached football for one of the local schools. And the head football coach of that school was the worst. He was the worst. I don't know what was going on in his mind or in his heart, but it seemed like every day I went to coach, it was his personal mission to build himself up by tearing me down in front of all the other coaches. It literally was just the worst experience. I had to pray every day before I went, and I had to pray every day after I left. I sought counsel. I was like, how do I deal with this? I dealt with it head on. I had all the crucial conversations, right? I said, you can't treat me this way. Like, if you continue to do this, none of it mattered. None of it mattered. Day in, day out, I kept showing up. He kept doing the same thing over and over and over again. Finally, I had about had enough. I was ready to quit. I was coaching for free anyway. I didn't need to do that. I went to the Lord and I said, God, won't you just show up and do what only you can do? Show up with your power. Bring justice to this situation. This is not right. Cause this man to repent and change his ways. And I just remember the Lord saying, just go and serve that guy. Go and pray for him when no one's watching. Go learn from him. And that was almost offensive. Like, I want to learn from this horrible boss. Learn from him and love him, the Lord said. I know it's painful, but there's something bigger going on. And I was reminded of the words in Isaiah when our sacrificial lamb went to the shears without even saying a word. Showed up. I did the faithful work. I interacted with the kids. I prayed for him when he was not watching. I wish I could say that there was some grandiose time that at some giant banquet, he publicly repented for throwing me through the mud every single day. Never happened. But what's really interesting is I got a picture of the lamb who was slain by going and partnering with God in that way. I was discipled by Jesus in the midst of that hardship. Now, sometimes it can go the other way. Of course it can. Sometimes we overemphasize the lamb and what we need is we need more lion in our life. And some of you probably need to hear that this morning. Because it's also true that sometimes when heartache after heartache after heartache comes our way, we can just curl up into a ball and we just want, you know, the lamb who was slain to come and cuddle up with us and wrap a warm blanket around us and whisper sweet nothings into our ear and tell us that it's gonna be all right. But actually what we hear is he says, I am the lion of the tribe of Judah and it's time for you to get up. And it's time for you to get to work because there's a mission of God at hand. And there's people all around us that I'm working in and through, and I want you to join me in that mission because the kingdom of God isn't just about talk, it's also about power. And so when we overemphasize one and not the other, we get totally out of balance. It's both. That's why we have the grid. That's why this passage is written the way it's written. It's both of these things. Both are true at the same time. Sometimes we need to be filled with his power and action. We need a lion-like faith. And if that's you this morning, we're gonna pray for that. We're gonna ask for God to give you his courage and protection, safety and security, but we're also gonna ask that our eyes would be turned to look and see and behold the lamb who was slain. We need both. The lion and the lamb, the king of all kings, the lord of all lords, the redeemer and rescuer of all of his people, but he is also, and we can never forget, the man of sorrows, the suffering servant, and the sacrificial lamb. So the way of Jesus will surprise you over and over and over again, and there's not a corner of our lives that doesn't need the fullness of who Jesus is. You and I both, everyone in this room, everyone around us, we're all in desperate need of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Just don't be surprised if when you cry out for that power, you turn and you look and you see a lamb who is slain. And this is who the world needs. The world needs to encounter the real Jesus. And the Lord will tap you on the shoulder and tell you to go in his name, but you'll only be able to give away what you've experienced yourself. And so how do you need to encounter Jesus this morning? Do you need to be filled with his spirit afresh? To have the power and courage of the Lion of the tribe of Judah fill you from the inside out? Do you need to be reminded of the Lamb who is slain? Who left perfection and left heaven to lay his life down for you and for me. Let's pray and seek his presence together this morning.